I don't know. Before we start, I want to just share, continue what I was sharing last time. But before we start that, can we just do some, you know, cultic activities? Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, for those who may be hearing that for the first time, if you are listening to this on tape, the truth is that everything that you find in this life, Satan never originates anything. He never does. You know, I say to you all the time, they say somebody joined your cult to get power. Listen, it's deception. What did I call it?
Deception.
It's deception. What Satan tries to do is give you what God would have given you anyway. The difference between Satan and God is that God demands that you follow a process. Walk before me and be perfect and I will bless you. It's always like that. God gives you a promise. His promise is supposed to be a guide. Supposed to be a guide. You start learning the things that are necessary for the fulfillment of that promise. We've been talking about that on Saturdays. All right? So God, what he does is that he says to you simply, I am going to make you very rich in this life. If God never says that to you, Satan can't give it to you. He can't. The difference now is that Satan comes, and God will say, he says that to you and you remain poor. He says that to you, you are not experiencing anything. It's called the first day of John the Baptist. That's how I call it. God said, he came to them and said that, he was speaking to Moses. He said, tell the children of Israel to prepare for me today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will come and speak with them. I'll come and visit them. Now, those first 2 days are the days of preparation. And that was what John the Baptist represented. The Bible says that he came with a baptism, how did it go again? John came with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. He came with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What he's doing is that he's rearranging you so that you can receive the visitation of the Lord. And once people were ready, all right, Jesus came and began to heal the sick. He began to raise the dead. He began to do things that John the Baptist never did. The testimony is that John the Baptist did not do any mighty work. But Jesus said that of all men born of women, none was as great as John the Baptist. He wasn't doing any mighty work. What was he doing? He was preparing the hearts of men. So that's how it is. The first portion of your life is a period of John the Baptist. You are preparing. You know, God is doing things in you. Until he has built you up to a level. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. First of all, what he does is to build you up. And once he has built you up, he now releases to you your own inheritance. So that's the difference. Satan does not build you up. He just releases to you something. And God allows him to do that. He's just watching. You're just watching. Do you want to endure? You want to get it now. If you make up your mind that you don't want to endure, you don't want to get it now. God allows you to have it and he knows it's going to kill you. I stumbled on the material and I was reading some things. I was writing this morning, actually. I was writing a sermon. Now, I stumbled on that material and in that material, I saw a man who made it big. Now, he wasn't a Christian. In fact, I bought the book. I ordered the book. I should get it maybe over the next 2 weeks. He was talking about some things about Greek philosophy, but how in his life, he had to contact some things. But what happened was that he became very, very wealthy. He said, he mentioned names of great people that used to frequent his nightclub. He had a number, about three of them in New York. He was a big boy. He said that, well, by the time Satan was through with him, he'd be walking on the road. Even he's afraid to meet those he used to know. That's how much Satan dealt with him. He despaired of life itself. And that's what happened. And he was very influential in his own circles. Big names. In fact, you read the book, he mentioned the names of the people that used to come to his club. People that it was a favor for you to know him. Big men who counted it a favor to be his friend. As a young man. At that time, I think he was in his 30s. By the time Satan was through with him, he wanted to die. There was a time he was hoping, in fact, he felt bad. He thought he was about to die. They did not revive him. He said, what happened? He said he felt very bad. Now, what happened? What kind of mistake was that? But that was because he was not built up. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right? Otherwise, Satan can't give anybody anything that God did not plan to give the person. Anything that Satan succeeds in giving somebody, if that fellow had been patient, and had walked with God, he would have gotten it, she would have gotten it, and it will have endured. I want to emphasize that again. That's just the difference. If you had a man joined a cult, became a famous musician, telling the gift of singing, if God didn't give it to you, Satan could not have given it to you. No, it's not possible. But Satan says, don't worry. Why do you have to walk before him and be perfect? When I can just give it to you now. And God allows it. You want it like that, take it like that, get destroyed on time. Now, I went into that just to emphasize to us again, there is nothing that Satan invents on this earth. And I want Christians to understand, you know, I'm into this cult ministry right now. It's a new ministry I'm into. I want Christians to understand that the origin of real Ogboni is Christianity. All this one you see outside is a cheap and fake adulterated one. So you shouldn't be afraid of them. I need to emphasize it. Jesus, at the time when he was trying to introduce his own cult to people, they ran away. Except to eat my flesh and drink my blood. The people say, what is going on here? But that's just what it is. When you see Paul talk about the mystery, go ahead, Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about the mystery that was hidden, all right? That word mystery, the Greek word mysterion, is the same thing that, you know, people have to enter into, you know, if you maybe you're into, you're doing martial arts, and then you go into black eye, what they call it, black belt, you get different levels, the first dan, second dan, you know, the danner you go, I invent words, you understand my point? The more you have to discover some things before you can move to another level. And that's how it is in Christianity also. That word mystery. All right? The difference is that, in fact, it's not. What's the difference? I can't even see much difference in it apart from, but I was going to say that this one is not open to everybody. Christianity is not open to everybody. It's open only to those who believe. I hope you're getting my point. It's open only to those who believe. And I want those who believe to know that it's open to them, and once you have believed, you have entered into something more powerful than God. Yeah, of Ogbanje spirit. Those are the cheap, cheap ones. Those who can't do real sacrifice, that's the one they enter. Those who will kill other people, that's the one they enter. We will kill ourselves. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. You take your whole life, kill yourself, you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Those want to sacrifice their children, they enter a cheap cult. Their own life is not what is being taken. For if you take your own life totally, slaughter yourself and die, you know, you become what the Bible calls a living sacrifice. You are dead, but you are breathing. Anybody join the Ogboni, tell them you're a lazy man. If you won't join cult, come church. I don't know what I heard I said. You see a man says in the Ogboni, say you are lazy. You are selfish. You can't make sacrifice. It's cheap. You go and sacrifice something else. Follow me, in my own cult will kill you. Please, I want you to understand what I'm trying to explain. In fact, I want to teach this thing very well so people will understand. Next, I tell him, you see a man, say, you are a lazy man. You are lazy. Say, eh? Mata chef, I can't say that in English. Okay, let me try. What it means is that I will place a curse upon you, tell the man, get away. Do you know how to curse people? Say, you are lazy. You don't know how to do these things. Follow me. I will show you the real, the deep, the deep, the people that hold meeting in the presence of God. You know, there are different kinds of cults. You can hold meeting in the presence of cheap spirits. All those demons that peep and mutter. They don't own anything. They don't let peep. Familiar spirits. They are not creator spirits. Tell the people like that. Sometimes you say, hi. Of all the powers available on this, you go choose the one that they say, you go and sleep in burial ground. Why should I sleep in burial ground? You'll be eating things at midnight. I mean, human beings don't think properly. If you think properly, you come to church. No, really, if you bother to use your brain well, where you want to go is church. What I'm saying is very true. I mean it literally. So next time you see somebody say, you don't join cult. Tell the guy, say, which kind of cult? Follow me to the real one. You know, because we watch too many home videos, we think that these so-called cults have power. They don't. What did I say? They are not get. It will appear as if they have when you check who they are dealing with. If a man who is in a cult with Satan is trying to curse a man who's under, who was already cursed by God, it's easy. I don't know whether I get my point. It's like HIV. That's how it behaves. If HIV has knocked somebody's system out, every little gem will be afflicting the person. And I say that gem has power. I don't know whether I get my point. It doesn't have power. It's just because HIV has rendered that fellow powerless. If you tell the gem, if you have power, go and meet what doctors call an immunocompetent man. Cause disease there. I don't know whether you follow my point. So when you see all these witches, babalawo, they place curses on people. Yes, because the people are cursed already. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. He that has not believed is cursed already. So it is easy. The man says he has power. I say, okay, see Pastor Banky, try him first. He says, Shay, you have power. Okay, come, let me show you his car. That is his shirt. I brought his shirt for you now. Shay, you say, you need something from him to do it. Yeah, do him. Okay, may I just warn you? Somebody must die, either you or him. The man said, carry your shirt, go, I know they do it again. He said, I thought you said you had power. Eh? Or give him your shirt, say, this is my shirt, I'm going home. Do something. But let's just make sure it's like this. So somebody dies, either you or me. Trust me, the fellow will change his mind. You hear what I say? No, I need to get also understand this thing. So the next time people will gather and say, this night, every witch that's against my life, their prayer points that are a waste of time. They are motivated by fear. All the altars raised up against me, raise them higher. If you can climb it, climb. I just warn you, when you won't come down, you go fall. And when you fall, you will scatter. All the altars raised against me. Oh God, ask my wife doesn't even pray such nonsense prayers. We don't. In my house, we don't. You want to raise the altar? Raise it. You want to sacrifice on it? Climb. I just feel sorry for you. Because you will try and come down, and you will not come down in one piece. And this is the issue. Whether I know about it or not, it's irrelevant. Do you know the simple reason? Courts have levels. Do you follow? And the guys who are in the deep ones, who are in the highest places, whose lives are hid with Christ in God, they are in the ones that are in the thickest of them all. And you can't touch them. You can't. What did I say? You can't. What did I say? What did I say? You know, the other night I woke up, I began to read Psalm 4, Psalm 5, Psalm 6, thereabouts. Hi. And I was seeing some dangerous incantations. I need to continue this thing. In our court, I need to say it again, we drink blood. What did I say? There is no covenant that's enacted without blood. It's called the blood of Jesus. Except you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you are not a member of his cult. You know, the other day I was reading, like I told you, reading the Psalms. And I was going through it. And I realized that Christians need to do their work again. What do I mean? There is no problem on this earth that God has not already issued forth a word concerning. And that word that God has issued forth is the incantation of the cult of Christianity. Are you getting my point? You know, those days when I was young, I used to wonder why some people read the Psalms a lot. Now that I'm older, I realize that the reading of the Psalms is not the problem. It's who's reading it as the issue. Most of those people were reading Psalms because they thought the power was in the Psalms. But the power is not in the Psalms itself, all right? The power is in God. Are you getting my point? And it doesn't work towards those who do not believe. So you find people, you know, very common, those I don't know about here, but in my own part of the country, there are a lot of these churches, they call them white garment churches. They were all over the place. They used to do battle with this thing, you know? Honestly. But I now realize that they must have learned it from some people. But they didn't realize it's not the words. Let me tell you, this joke is going to make you laugh. One day, a man said, now, this joke, though it's a joke, I read it somewhere when I was very young, but it tells you the reality of the thing, though it's a joke. The man said one day, he was going out somewhere, rain was about to fall, and they were having parties. So one guy jumped and said they should all contribute money, and that he will stop the rain for them. So they brought wood and brought kerosene and made a fire. And we're pouring the kerosene into the fire so that, you know, and the man was there talking, you know, saying a lot of words, incantations. And after a while, the rain stopped. So they paid the man his money and he left. So he told himself, man, now, wow, this is business for this Lagos. So good enough, he has a very good memory. So he memorized everything that fellow said. Wrote it down, crammed it properly again. And started going around rainy season. Anyway, people are doing party. So he waited for rain to fall. So one day he got to one and rain was about to fall. So he jumped out and said, I can stop this rain. He should contribute money. He gave them his fee. They paid him, put it in his pocket. Told them to bring wood, bring fire, kerosene, bring everything inside, made a fire inside the rain, and began to recite everything that fellow said. He recited and recited. The more he recited, the heavier the rain began. Became. After a while, the rain quenched the fire. The whole party scattered. According to him, they beat the guy badly. Now, it was a joke. You know, I read this when I was very, very young. You know, I read this in one of these funny newspapers. But you know, when I grew up and I remembered it, I said, that's just what Jesus Christ said. He said, you said the scriptures, thinking that in them you have eternal life. He said, but you will not come to me. That is, the scriptures actually testify of me. He that has the Son has life. That is, the life is in the Son. The Father has life in himself, and he has given it to the Son to give to whosoever he wishes. So life is in the Son. Life is not in the book. It's not in the words. It's in the Son. But because you are in the Son, you are getting my point? You have life, and these words are now the expression of the life that you have in the Son. But those who don't know it, they memorize words. They start all kinds of things using the Psalms, and sometimes it becomes nothing but an indictment against them. That is, you have heard these words, you still don't believe. Please, I hope you are getting my point. As you grow, you start remembering things. I now remember all those things. Those guys, you go and meet them, they prescribe Psalms for people. If you have problems, they will tell you, read these Psalms. They give a few of them. After all the Psalms, they do animal sacrifice. They mix everything together. It's nothing but a corrupted, which word do I use now? They saw the Christianity somewhere. Just like that man I told you, I told him the joke. They thought it's about the words. So people go there to learn the trade. I've been somewhere before. I was waiting for somebody. I was supposed to travel. I was supposed to take me on the journey. And there was a church nearby, you know, they call church. And these guys were there fighting and quarreling with themselves, their business, and no playing. Then after a while, a client will arrive. The client will tell them their problems. Then they will pray. I will hear a lot of prayer. They will pray. Then the clients will drop money and go. Then they continue their play. It was a business. It was open 24 hours. They took calls, you know, like doctors will take call. If your problem is at night, you meet the prophet at night. They advertise. One day my mother told me about their reverend father in their church, that there was one of those churches near the church. And at night, the reverend father could not sleep. Because they were praying loud, you know, with loud speakers and all of that in the poor reverend father's ears. So one day, he couldn't take it anymore. He came out. He went to the church to go and tell them, please reduce this, your prayer now. Only to get their father, the guy praying has slept. It was a cassette play. It was a cassette. They said there were maybe two or three people in the church. They were sound asleep. But their loudspeakers were on. The amplifier was blasting. And neighbors couldn't sleep. The Reverend Father God, he couldn't understand, what is the purpose? Do you know what I'm saying? And when you hear the speaker, you are hearing everything. You are hearing all the commotion in the name of Jesus. Fire, fire. It's a cassette. The people were all asleep. Well, later I realized what was going on. It's an advertisement. I don't know what I get, my friend. It's advert. It's advert. They don't know to anything more than they're advertising their trade. So if you had the problem, you will go there. You get there, you will knock. They will wake up and pray for you. And they call it church. You see a lot of it around these days. The truth is that they learned it. What I'm telling you is not a joke. They go to learn the trade. It's a business. So they corrupt what is true. People, look, but the fact is that wherever they heard it from the first time, maybe they saw what was real about it. What is the real thing about it? He that has the Son has life. He has entered into the deep court of God. And inside there, they have what? Words, which they utter. And those words are the expressions of the life that they have in Christ. And listen, if somebody of faith reads those things, you know, the other day I was looking at it. God was speaking about what he does to people who are against his people. Are you getting my point? And look, if you read it, you should be afraid, though. That is, if you hate Christians, like, listen, maybe you are in a church, you are in a place, in an office. The boss just decided anybody who's a Christian here is in trouble. There are different ways to handle it. Let me just give you practical tips. Number one, it's good to be nice and patient. Amen? Like God. Intercede. God, show him light. Help him. Then when he handshake, don't begin cross elbow. Are you getting my point? It's time to change the gear. Don't tell God to do anything specific. That one is not good. What you simply do, you understand my point? Let me give an example. In Psalm 7, verse 8, it says, "The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness. According to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God who saves the upright in heart." God is a righteous judge, I'm in verse 11, and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. Are you reading what I'm reading? If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travails with wickedness, and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out, and has fallen into the hole which he made. Notice that, and has fallen into the hole which he made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own plate. Say, me, what will I do? I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Notice that. Read from verse 11, it describes God, tells you what God can do, then tells you what the wicked has planned, and now says to you simply that the man will fall into the hole that he dug, and his mischief will return upon his own head. If you're a Christian politician, you enter into politics. Eh? This is what you need, though. You don't need to go and swear in any shrine. You are trying to do business with people, and they are conspiring. This is what you need. Have you noticed that you didn't see anything against anybody? That's how the incantations of the Lord, that's how they are. You leave God to apportion his judgment the way he wants. Listen, that boss that I was telling you about, if you love me, just read this. This is what people are already reading for you behind your back. If a man has sense, he will repent. Because you know what God says? If a man does not repent, the Lord will sharpen his sword. And listen, if a Christian does this, now you are getting my point, somebody has life in himself. If you give this to an unbeliever, he will die first. I don't know what I heard what I said. Yeah. Some people go to church and they are condemning themselves every day. All my enemies that say I will not succeed, die suddenly. And God said, you are your own enemies. You are your own enemy. You are the iniquity fellow in this place. You are the one that lie, cheat. You understand? You can't be trusted. You are the one, everything. So he said, all my enemies that say I will not make progress, scatter. Then the fellow wake up next morning, his back don't break, his lungs are not working, you know. He thinks it's the enemy. It's not the enemy. So there are things listen, it's now I understand that these are things for when we are inside cult meeting. No? Anybody that's not initiated should please not come. What is initiation? It's simple. Giving your life to Christ. Believing the power of the Holy Spirit to make you holy and righteous. That's initiation. That's all. After that, everything that is written here is the incantation of the Lord. And like I say every day, no Christian should move around recklessly without using the sword of the Spirit. You water the ground when you wake up in the morning. And listen, prayer is not, oh, my Lord, don't strive, go wire. There are times, well, I did like that. Amen? So we respond like that. Most times, there's no problem. Like there was one the other day I was reading. I just saw it. That's Psalm 4. The last two verses. He said, you have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and their new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. That is a night incantation. You hear what I said? Yeah, it's a night incantation. You don't have to hear Guza Guza before you recite it. It should be your habit. You wet your environment. Just simply get up and just declare it. Everybody's gone to sleep. If you like to do it African style, it's not necessary, but sometimes it's just good to feel good. What I want to say is not necessary. Once in a while, I want to. You know, when you still have the African habit in your body, you understand my point? It's not necessary what I want to say. Yeah? You go to your door and say it on the door. You get my point? Now you can say in the bathroom, it has the same effect. But you know, if you grow up with an African mentality, you come out of the compound, you declare it over the compound. It's an African way of doing things. Do you follow my point? It's not really, it's not necessary. You can you can do it from anywhere, really, you understand? But I'm just trying to say that if you want to do it the African way, just go there. You can even do a small dance. The way they did home video. In fact, turn your own to dancing against Satan, against all the troubles of life. That's how Christians handle life. And you wake up in the morning, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The Lord is with me in my going out and my coming in. It's not a joke. Please, I want you to understand that. It's not a joke. It will open doors for business for you. Simple words like, he surrounds the righteous with favor as with a shield. He surrounds the righteous with favor as with a shield. You wake up in the morning, that's what you say. And then sometimes, if you meditate on the word of God all the time, you wake up in the morning, something starts, you know, like running by itself around your mind. That is a special word for that season. It's a special word for that day. Don't let it go. It's a special word for that season. It's a special word for that day. Don't let it go. Words like, I shall not die, but I shall live. Don't let it go. You're entering your car. Don't worry. Even if all the knots of your tires fall off and you're going at 180 kilometers an hour, you will not know. It's when you park. I've seen things like that before. It's when you park, you come down. I want to say that, where are the knots on your tire? They are not there. Then the car will fall while you people are talking. And you just, no, I'm not joking about that. And you just driven 1 hour, doing all kinds of speeds, taking all kinds of turns. But the incanted word said, you know what I'm saying? I shall not die, I shall live. So those words, the angels take it, use it to glue the tire there. And when you get to where you are going, they look and say, ah, what happened? Say, but I just drove this car down here just now. Did you live here and somebody stole it? No. That is, maybe two fell off the last time you traveled. One, they were not there when you took off that money. They were ready to come off. They came off, but God said, no, this one is not going down. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. That's the way it works. That is the way it works. It is not when, look, in fact, Jesus made something clear that stop taking, you know, come to prayer time. Lord God, I want food. I want food. No. Food is incantated regularly. I don't know whether you get my point. Simple, look, one of the most powerful incantations in the scriptures is Psalm 23. Very, very powerful. No wonder it's so popular. It's very powerful. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, those days, he said that, no, you don't need to recite things. These days, I believe in reciting, no. No, I do. No, really, I'm telling you. I believe in reciting. I believe in reciting. Now, but just that the recitation now is not, it's not just rote learning. It's not just I've crammed it. It's with insight. If I say to you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As I'm saying it, I've thought of over $1 billion. Are you getting my point? It's not just, I'm not just reciting. I'm telling the air around me, listen, behave. I'm saying to the air around, listen, bring resources. Yes, and that's, what did I say? Well, I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You say things like, do I walk the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil. That is, there are times you will hear of troubles, you just will not be afraid. Why? You've spoken, you know, that's how God ordained for this life to move. You know, in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees, all right, that were in the set, the special area, all right? One of them is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It means that I succeed by my own strength, by my own energy. That's what it means. I only get results in things I can plan by myself. But the tree of life, it means that it arranges things for me. Other men labor, I enter into their labor. They have ideas, they don't know what to do. They say, the only person that carry this thing to fruition is this particular guy. They come and call me. That's how it works. He says, stranger will build your walls. I was saying the other day, Sunday at Elijah went. God is very, very, he has a very good sense of humor. Communism said there's no God. They spent their money to train a man who was going to be the pastor of the biggest church in the whole of Europe with communism money. They gave him a scholarship. He just gave his life to Christ a few months before that. 6 months before that, he traveled to the heart of communism. At the end of the day, they fell. Pastored a church of over 20,000 people, 99.9% white. That's how God works. And that's what God, that's the life of Christianity, that's the power of life. Do you understand? Death and life, he said, they are in the power of the tongue. You know, I've been telling people, you know, how many of you have prayed for PHCN ever in your life? For Power Supply in Nigeria. I hope you know God has answered your prayer. Don't worry, they took like, don't worry. By this time next year. Now, the reason why it will come to be is simply because you and me, we decide so. It is not simply because it privatized. That's the first manifestation. I was writing a sermon this morning on the worship of methods. They worship methods. It's not methods. Method is one way by which God can bring any way. So this privatization that's happened in Nigeria is one of the methods. But the real life that's bringing things to be is the fact that you and I continually declare it. What am I saying? If you've prayed about it, you are looking forward to it, don't stop talking. Because there are people who don't want good things. And the realm of the spirit, we keep on fighting. I hope you're getting my point. In the realm of the spirit, what do we keep on doing? Fighting. And it's a battle of let me just say this again. I know I'm repeating myself, but let me say it. All the experiences of life, all of them are temptations. Temptations to say it this way or say it that way. No matter how bad it is, it's a temptation. Think about it. The story of Job. If you think you have suffered in life, you never see anything. No. May you not suffer like Job. If I just tell God, say, God, you know Job has suffered, and I believe in the suffering of Job. I mean, like, I have suffered with him. I mean, Jesus Christ has collected everything. Not lead me in that path. I know no bad things are bad. You know what I'm saying? God, Job suffered big time. Wipe out the whole family in an instant. All his children apart from his wife, who was wiped out spiritually anyway. All his goods, all right? And the Bible says, while that one was still speaking, the people bringing the news, everything happened in a short space of time. As one was still speaking, the next one will come in. As that one will finish, another one will come in. All of this happened to Job in like 1 hour. Why? Let us hear what he will say with his mouth. That's what I'm talking about. No matter what you experience in life, it is about how you will respond. What will you say with your mouth? And that's why I fight people all the time. Look at this power matter in the country. Me, I'm a regular fighter on that matter, anywhere I get to. Regular fighter. And I don't care how old or how young you are, I fight that one. So Nigeria can never have this uninterrupted power supply. And I ask you, why not? Listen to me, it will happen. I told you once, I walked a student out of my office for saying the opposite. I could do that, it's my office, I'm the boss. Are you getting my point? I told him, get up, yeah, leave this place. Now, as I'm looking at you, you are going out. I find that in everywhere I go. You know why? Because I realize that what is dictating matters is words. The other day, I was in my office, somebody told me that, hey, I don't know what's happening, you know. This is getting better, getting worse. I said, these guys took over just 2 weeks ago. Do you understand? People are already using, Satan is already recruiting against them. In my area, we have not had life for more than 3 hours in the last 2 days. And they said they are privatized. I said, oh, so you thought privatization was supposed to switch everything on overnight? I said, madam. Was one woman in my office. I said, madam, they took over less than 2 weeks ago. I know, it's supposed to be called up by now. I said, don't worry, we will get there. I fight that fight all the time because I know the importance of it. Are you getting my point? What I'm talking about that is the fact that I bear it in mind. There is a battle of what? Words. And everything in life is a challenge to say something. Many of you have children or we have children. Let me warn you ahead of time. Those people are the most tempting creatures that God made. They are more tempting than power failure. Are you understand my point? To tempt you to say what is wrong. I watched one of these series one day on TV. One woman said that, I've heard it said that children are a gift from God. He said, but there are days you wish you could return them. There are days you wish you could return them for what her children did to her. And that's how they are. They will tempt you to say everything bad about them. But I thank God they will not make me fall for it. Sometimes, you know, they in fact, I know I have different kinds of children. Some of them do it with their mouth. Some do it with their actions. My daughter, Mena, does her own with her mouth. She will utter some things. Sometimes my wife will look like, if I catch you there... But no matter what you like, do or not do or say or not say, my mouth will not fall for it. Even if I want to flog you, I flog you with the incantation of the Lord. I bring out my cane. Bring me your bonbon. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's a blessing that to have a quiver full of them. Therefore, since I have you, you are a blessing. His seed will be mighty on the earth. That's cane on your back. You confess the word of God. The foolishness bound here is hereby cast out in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that a rod will cast it far away from him. So we obey God. But you won't make me say you're a stupid child. No, it won't come out. This child, what will I do with you? No, I know what I'm going to do with you. You will serve the Lord. You will grow up in righteousness. You will be handsome. You will be beautiful. You will be intelligent. Righteousness is your portion. You will fulfill the purpose of God for your life. You will be very, very rich. You will help the poor. I catch my children telling lies. That's the worst sin in my house. You tell a lie. It's a worst sin. What does it say? This child, you are a liar. No, you know there are things. This child, you are not a liar. If you are a liar, you should lie, right? So if you're a liar, you should lie and not get punished because you are walking according to your nature. Why do I punish you? Because you are not a liar. And you've now told a lie. So we should realign you to your true nature. Have you ever seen somebody get angry with a pig for being dirty? This pig, I just bath you, finish. Dirty like this. See a dog lying down on the floor. What's the big deal? You should lie down on the floor. You're a dog. Say, a goat eating grass. Say, don't you know it will eat your mouth? There are things you don't say. It's proper. The guy should eat the grass. But when you now come, you see your child, you just give a bath, find Sunday dress, lies on the floor. You have to realign that one. So when you find a child misbehave, you don't affirm it by saying you are misbehave. What's the qualification? What's the adverb? What is it now? What's that? What's the English term? Don't tell me when I do English that it's an adverb now. Anyway, adjective, whatever. You are a misbehaver. That's what I'm trying to get. You don't affirm it. He said, no, you are not supposed to misbehave like a child. You are a Jesus boy. Are you getting my point? And you deliver the dose of, you know, the correction that is appropriate. If it's by mouth alone, you say it. If it needs the rod to make it wet and sharpen into the heart of the child, you add it. But you will never fall for affirming the words of Satan in that child's life. You must never. That's the lesson. Everything in life is what? It's a temptation. You have a headache, say, hey, I hope it's not migraine. Which is hope is not migraine in it? Talk to it now. You arrange the incantation that is appropriate for the moment. That's what I'm going to explain. You arrange the one that is appropriate for the moment. Listen, now when you are reading the scriptures, new assignment, that's the one for the day. Read it with the mind. Now, you know, there are different ways to read the scriptures. There's reading you want to know, you know, just for knowledge. Are you getting my point? Just for knowledge, okay. Who killed who? Was it David that killed Goliath or Goliath that killed David? You know, it's good to know who killed who. All right? So that is one way of reading. That's one way. There are ways you read, all right, to know your right in Christ. We're taught that one as young Christians, to know what is yours in Christ Jesus. You read like that. There are different ways to read the scriptures. But I'm adding one for you now. Read it with the intent of knowing which appropriate words to use for which situation. That's what I'm adding to it. Read it with the attitude that which words are right, which words are correct. Like I told you, that was yesterday morning or the other day. And I just woke up early. I picked up my tab to read the Bible. So I just said, let me read from the book of Psalms. And I was going through it. I said, wait. If I don't like somebody, I can enjoy him from here. Now, I'm not saying I should do that regularly. Are you getting my point? But while reading, I just found out that these are weapons of war. You know, let me just say this, all right? Christians are good people, amen? They are very good people. If you are a good person, say amen.
Amen.
Christians are more righteous than God, amen? You change your mind? Okay, I now you understand. There's no way I'm going there. Christians sometimes they behave as if they are nicer than God is. They're always praying for every sinner to repent. Some sinners should die. You see, Pastor Mark, please explain now. Please explain. I'm not saying you should mention names, though. I said, this one, Lord, let him die. No. But you must give occasion to both. If he will not repent, is that not in the Bible? The Lord will sharpen his sword. Why are you not saying, God, if they don't repent, blunt your sword? That is ungodly. You are trying to be nicer than God is. You are saying to God, even though they don't repent, dull your sword. Don't kill anybody. I was listening to this man the other day, and the woman, he said something that was very interesting. He said that there was one young man, the guy backslid, you know, was a good Christian, then he moved away. Started doing drugs, moving around, doing all kinds of stuff. They were praying for him. So one day he went to see the guy, like, how far? I said, I'm fine. And come back to church, say, for what? I feel good. I feel all right. So he went back and said, what's going on? They not realize they have been praying for him wrongly. They have been praying for him that God will keep him in peace and bless him. So the guy said, now they changed gear. So, all right. They changed the gear. You will see now. Say, Lord, every peace he has, destroy it. Next time, my woman came. What did you guys do to me? I've not been able to sleep. Say, good, now come back to church. What are you talking about? You've been praying for God to bless you in your backsliding state. No, if you don't reconcile with God, you will never be happy. You will never have peace. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by Christians are not supposed to be nicer than God is. They're not supposed to be kinder than He is. They're not supposed to be more righteous than He is. You must always give room for the wrath of God. Because when you don't, you allow evil to remain without being judged. I'm not saying you mention names and start killing people. Say this one, you will die. I didn't say so. But you must make room for it. Like he said, if he will not repent, in this country we start praying that prayer. Lord, if he will not repent. Why I'm going to do that is that, listen, anything you are doing in life, you are doing business, you are doing politics, places where there are adversaries. If you are a true believer, listen, it is not your duty to go and say, no matter whether they want to kill me or not kill me, God just have mercy on them. That's not Christianity. Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. May God pay him back according to his works. And that's what you have to understand. You must know how to pray prayers effectively. You know sometimes they talk in Nigeria that, I have seen people, you know, sometimes when Americans write on how to do business in countries like ours, I thank God for their writing, you know, and I enjoy it. I recommend the books. But sometimes I feel like, I thank God, Sha, amen, that they don't understand what Nigerian businessmen have to go through sometimes. That's Christians. Even though what they are saying is theoretically sound, how to apply it practically is often not there for the typical Nigerian. I mean, in fact, there's a book my wife read recently. I read a bit of it, and the guy described how P&G, all right, shut down their production for a few months in an African country. They didn't mention the name of the African country, but I have this suspicion may have been my own African country. But he was writing the book how, because they refused to pay a government official some bribes to allow their goods that were coming in to be released. And of course, you know the way it is. All right? So he was talking about it like, that was the right thing to do. You know, so they didn't mind. They shut down the factory. Now, I'm not going to discuss that now, all right? Because there is a difference between bribery and being extorted. There's a world of difference between giving a bribe and somebody extorting you. Do you get my point? Now, if a thief were to carry a gun, shoot into the air, give me your money. No, you find out there's another scripture for that. Give to all that ask of thee. Just you give him and you keep moving. Now, the gun sometimes is not metal with a bullet inside. Sometimes the man who wants to ruin a whole business that's feeding thousands of people and all of that, and he's just an armed robber. It's not bribery. You're not saying that I'm supposed to pay 1,000, let me give you 500. No. I'm not supposed to pay any money. Say, guy, good, I'm not going to sign anything. Now, there are different ways to handle it. There are different ways. Please, I want to understand this. It is not, let me just say this so people understand. That is not the same thing as being bribing somebody. It's not the same at all. That's extortion. A bribe perverts the way of justice. A bribe, you know, turns what is wrong into what is right. That's what it does. But extortion is a different matter. What Jesus said about extortion is that if they say to you, go with me 1 mile, go with him two. This is how I apply it. Those days when, okay, after I learned this kind of thing, you know, you're on the highway. But this man stops here and says that your chassis number is supposed to be 5532448. That this your 8 looks like it's faded a bit. As officer, I can see clearly it is 8. From the angle, Sergeant, come. What do you think of this? They are in league now. So no, be three, but that's a hand. Thank you. The argument goes on. Are you getting my point? That is the go with me 1 mile. So such a time, when the man says, okay, before I let you go, give me 100 naira. Jesus said, give him 200. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Give him 200. It's different from that's not bribery. That's extortion. That's a kind of armed robbery. He's armed. He's not armed. He's armed. That's one way. That's one way. You understand my point? Now, but the one I'm talking about, that's where I want to get to. There are different ways, I'm telling you. There's another one which sometimes God commissions people to generate wrath against other people. The man will just say, I'm not going. I'm not paying you. I'm not giving you money. And it's God's commission. That one is God said, go and give me a concubine. And what God is doing there is building up anger against that man. God does that also. Because if a factory is supposed to run, all right, and you say it must not run because you want to collect money by force, that is extortion. The boss can decide, okay, take, go away. The factory runs. But then if God wants to punish that fellow well, you say, factory will not run. The boss says, yes, let it not run. Then about 50 husbands with wives and children working there will not get salary for the next 2 months. Then when children do well for night, all their anger, the wrath of God is coming to your house. So if that man had given it to you, you should thank him. Say, thank you, sir, for preventing God from sending, you know, some people. That's what God does to them. He said, don't give him. Why? I want all these children to cry. If they cry for 2 consecutive nights, I will have built up enough indignation against him and his family. That's not a joke. I mean that literally. I'm not laughing. That's another way. But the way I'm talking about today, you see, different ways. Oh, the one I'm talking about today is the one that Christians have to step into that gear. You tell the man, no. If I told one brother the other day, I said, do it to him. That happened in Benin. I said, do something like this. You guys call a prayer meeting on people like this. And tell the Lord, we'll give this guy 24 hours to repent. He doesn't repent, sharpen your sword against him. That is the one I'm teaching tonight. Christians have to step into that. After a while, people will say that. Who are those people? I beg, release your goods, church people. You want that? You want that? I beg. The last guy that did it, go ask what happened to his son. That is. They will start telling stories about what happens. And I'm saying to you directly today, at such times, it's not time for mercy prayer. We want to manifest destiny. We want to increase productivity in the land. A man says that, no, the container won't come out until I give him $500,000, which he does not deserve. I have paid what I'm supposed to pay. I have done everything. I will say, sir, listen to me. I like what Bishop Edipo said. He will say that, he will tell you, if I give you this money, it's leprosy for life. Tell the man simply, say, that $500,000 I don't have. And I will not borrow it for you. But I want you to know, I will not eat until God punishes you. You know, in the Bible, some men say that until we have killed Saul, we're not eating. Tell the man, say, listen, I'm going back home, but God, listen, I know you're a customs officer. I'm going back home to go and pick up a power that the type that you don't understand. And I'm saying to you, me and my brethren, we will not eat any pleasant food. Put that word pleasant, so that in case it's going to be long, you will survive. Don't use words that will make the man go and report to police that you are threatening his life. Oh, you know that kind of thing. Yes, no, use spiritual words. Tell him, listen, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will avenge. I am going home to ensure that God does not rest until he has avenged me on this matter. Like he said, if you will not repent, read for you. I have, you know, thank God for phones, you know, smartphones. Quickly scroll to Psalm 4. Sir, listen to this. You read it for him. Where did you read just now? Is it 4? 7. 7, sorry. Yes, you read to him. He said, the Lord judges the peoples. No, before you even get there, earlier on, there's one where he said that God, the one about the sword now, where is it? All right, okay. Tell the man that God said that he is the judge of the peoples. And in verse 12, he says, if a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. No, and when I say it's not a threat, it's not idle threat, say, let the man fear. Let him not fear. It's good he doesn't fear. So that somebody may be made an example. It's good he doesn't fear. It's good he doesn't fear. Bishop Edipo told the story, he said, when he was in Kaduna, one day, they came and served him notice that they should move their church. You know the way, Islamic persecution. Move their church from where it was. So he looked at the person who brought the letter and said that. They gave him 7 days. So told the person, say, tell them, in 7 days, they are all dead men. So that one reached gate. Came back. Said, excuse me, I just need to explain something. I'm actually a messenger. I'm not amongst those. I'm actually a messenger. I just deliver a letter. He said he got another letter like that one day. They just finished an all-night prayer meeting. According to him, the anointing was hot on his head. He looked at it and I said, uh-oh, why should this man kill himself? And the man died. Just look at the letter and say, why should this man kill himself? And the man died. I'm done explaining the principle. My time is almost up. All right, we'll get back to what I want you to continue next time, all right? Now, so this is the point I'm trying to make. Like I said to you, I just want to emphasize it to Christians again. This is what this cult thing is about. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Forget that we're using the word cult. That's what Christianity is. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You must understand that Christianity has more power than the Ogoni people have. In fact, to be saying he has more power is an insult. It's like saying that me as I am, I have more power than the cockroaches in my house. Do you understand my point? It's not nice. No, these are not statements to make. Just kill the cockroach, you know, and forget it. But then you start saying that I have more power than you. You know what I'm saying? That means you have cockroach phobia. Are you getting my point? Yes. You need to have cockroach phobia to make certain statements. Otherwise, normally you don't look. Where's that cockroach? You don't know. You stamp it. And then you continue talking with your wife like nothing happened. Nobody died. Nothing happened. Are you getting my point? In fact, if you leave it long enough, ants will come and help you gather the corpse and go and bury. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So in the same manner, when I say Christians have more powers, there's more power in Christianity than Ogboni, it's an insult. It's an insult. It's an insult. Honestly, it's an insult. It is an insult. But just that we have to say it because people don't know it. I wanted to just understand. So the problem is that Christians don't realize that the same way people will gather in a cult and say they want to place a curse on people. Listen, those people should be afraid that if we gather and... No, it's not a joke. I don't know why I told this story before. Somebody who was in the meeting gave me the testimony. I know one of the brothers who was, in fact, the guy who championed that meeting. When they were in school, you know, one girl who was a girlfriend to a cult member, you know, this small boy cult on campus, gave her life to Christ. And the guy was harassing her. And the girl was trying to run away from him. And he wouldn't leave her alone. So she came and reported him to the brethren in their fellowship. And so those are just called a small prayer meeting on his head. Next day, we went to go and buy medicine. A car coming from Lagos cleared him and killed him. The girl was free. I'm not joking, no. Don't think you're... Look, listen. Listen. Now, men will not vex for people, though. Now they talk. No, I'm serious. And Christians don't use this thing. They don't. And when you get to a country like this, we have to put some things in gear. This is not a normal meeting. We are not nice people. We are godly people. There's a world of difference between being nice and being godly. There's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. And I want Christians to understand that you can't be nicer than God. I was talking, that illustration I'm giving, three different ways you can handle those kind of people. The third way, we have to add that one to it. You start telling people, say, sir, you are playing with something that is dangerous. So I have gone to discuss this thing with my prayer warriors. Yes, you tell me, look, my brethren, my fellow prayer warriors, we have discussed this matter. I have paid what is right. If you release our container, release our goods, we won't say anything. If you come to the factory and beg us one day, we'll give you a bag of rice free. But if you want to sit down here and say, because God gave you authority, I will give you a scripture. He said, guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride on prosperously and with majesty for the cause of truth. He said, let thy right hand teach you terrible things. You give that kind of incantation, any man will not fear, he should die fast. Because the sound of it alone should make any man with an iota of godliness in him to repent. Anyone who doesn't still fear after that, then he said, God, I'm sorry, you can have him. I'm talking about the power on this thing. That's what I'm trying to explain. The problem a lot of us Christians have is that we have not even understood righteousness ourselves. That's what the problem is. So it's difficult for us to stand, you understand, and judge, in that sense. That's the problem. Please, I want us to understand the power of Christianity. When we take these scriptures, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Whoever has the Son, the Bible says, has life. So you already have life. So when you open the scriptures, it is the life of God in you that is talking. It's not as if we have incantations that anybody can learn. The Bible is available for everybody to buy and read. But to make those words life, they must indeed have totally, truly given their lives to Christ. And then they take any of these words and use it. It means exactly what it says. When God says, I will contend with them that are contend with you, that's an incantation. It is. Tell any Christians who's joining politics, they say they are going to this, they are going to shrine. Tell the person, don't worry. You just go to church. I don't know whether I get the point. That is your own shrine. Go to where? Church. I don't mean church building. No. There's a difference between church building and church. When I say church, gather brethren. Gather people. Gather people. No, something happened the other day. Let me just give you as a testimony, then I close. Last time I told you I was traveling. My flight was supposed to be at, what time was it? 9 p.m. Okay? And so we reasoned. The flight out of Enugu to get to Lagos was around 1 o'clock. So the reasoning was, if you take that flight and they cancel it, we are stranded in Enugu. That's it. I won't be able to go anywhere. So the logic was, okay, go early. I wanted to preach on Saturday here before going. So I preached on Saturday, left 6 o'clock next morning with AutoStar. The guy who sat beside me in the bus said that it was later on we got to Lagos, said, don't do it again. Because me, I had not gone on that road in a very long time, so I didn't understand. They said the road was so bad that those who were coming, you leave Lagos at 6 a.m., you get to Enugu maybe 11 p.m., that it was a regular thing. I did not know. And when I got, to, when we first got to Benin, I knew there was a problem. Because on the bypass in Benin, I spent like 30 minutes at one particular spot. What I'm telling the story is of the matter of go to church. That's why I'm telling the story. When I say go to church, what happened was that when I got to that point, and I realized what time it was already, by that time it was past 10, we're still in Benin. And then Jesus now started in the vehicle. This one happened when I was coming. Hey! That guy was essentially prophesying that you will not get to Lagos till 10 p.m. where you're supposed to have been in the airport by 8, you know, those kind of things. I said, God in heaven. I just took my phone. This is why I'm calling go to church. I have a chat group of my local brethren. You understand? I just said, brethren, and they knew I was traveling. I wanted to attend a particular program, and they knew I was going. I said, brethren, I'm on my way to the airport. I'm in Benin. I heard the road is blocked. Please pray. Clear the road with prayer. I just sent the messages out. So brethren were just replying, don't worry, you will get there, you know, stuff like that. And in Jesus' name, we'll get there. Amen. So I was believing them, believing the word of God. When we got to Ore, the driver decided to stop, people ate. Now, this is the point I'm making. When I saw the line of cars, you know, when you enter into a queue of cars, and all the lorry drivers, the bus drivers, they've left their vehicle, they've gone into the bush to go and do different things. You understand my point? Some have taken a long stroll. Then you know that these guys are not in a hurry to leave here. You may be in a hurry to get to Lagos, but they... I now understood why I had to send to my brethren to pray. Let me make a long story short so we can go home. There's just one part of the story I'll tell you. It got to a point. Now, the guy sitting beside me missed his first Sienna, one of the Siennas he paid for. Oh, let me just quickly tell you this. When I got there, I wanted to pay for that Sienna or another one. On the phone, they booked it for somebody else while I was standing there. So I had to enter another bus. This is the gist. You see, all those Siennas, all those people that left before us, we left them inside the holdup. Because what happened was that as we were going at the point in time, see the long queue of cars. You know the way it is. If you've been on that road, no movement. The thing was crawling after some time, bit by bit. Then suddenly, see, they are constructing the road. So on one side, they were walking. So at that point, they just opened the place where they closed. That was just about 5 or less than 10 cars in front of me. So our line just moved into that. All those who left before us were locked in a grid that was kilometers long. We behind them, we just turned into that. See speed, you know, they just finish this. Phew, phew, phew. Man, that got us out of the worst spot. There were still some holdups on the road, of course, but finally, I entered Lagos by 4 p.m. If I had enough time to go to Luth, go and freshen up, change my clothes. My brother came because he had my passport. He brought it for me and all of that. And then, you know, then he and the other guy now took me to the airport. We got there, I mean, properly on time. And the guy, that's when the guy beside him was telling me that, I don't, you know, in the course of the year, I said, oh boy, I get flight out of this country by 9 o'clock. He say, eh? And you enter this vehicle. He say, don't do it again. Now, why I told the story is the issue of when I say, they are going to shrine, you go to church. I just took the man and sent to my brethren and said, brethren, I'm on the way. The road is blocked. Pray and get me to Lagos. And they said, no problem. You will get there. You will get there on time. They were sending words of encouragement, sending things like that. I was reading it. And when, as we're moving, I could almost see the angels, you know, say, you wait, let them pass. I could almost, you know, in my mind's eye, I could almost see it. Those who left Enugu before me, what those guys estimated is that those guys would not get to Lagos if they are fast, maybe 2 hours after us, if they are quick. That many who left before us got there after us. Why? Because I went to church. That's what I mean by church. I don't mean go to a church building. That's why you need Christians as friends. Those who know God. Not those who know how to beg allergies. Those who know God. Who say, if it is too much, let us go and gather and let us go and pray. Listen, no. If you are talking about joining cult, tell them, say, the one where I enter is the hottest, most potent. Hottest, thickest, tightest, most potent. Please, if you want to join a cult, this is the one to join. No? Next time you see an unbeliever, say, give your life to Christ. I'm not saying that. Please be a nice guy. Come and enter are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. What my message today, please listen. This is what prayer is for, part of it for us as Christians. You are going to change the business world. There are adversaries out there. You are going to change politics. There are adversaries out there. You are going to change your nation. There are adversaries out there. No matter what you are going to change in this life, there are adversaries out there. You are not there to go and be fighting somebody with gun and bullet and physical fight. No. You are there to use the real potent power of God, which is available to everybody that has life in Christ. It is a manifestation of the life of God. When the life of God goes out, it blesses those who are ready for blessing. And you know what it does to other people? When Jeremiah began to preach, he just began to preach. He didn't say anything serious. He didn't say, no, go better for anybody. We don't like me. Nothing like that. He just began to preach. One man just dropped and died. So then even Jeremiah was alarmed. He ran back and said, God, what's going on? I said, nobody begin to preach. All he began to say was, thus says the Lord. Just began to preach. So I want you to know, when you wake up in the morning, you don't have to know. You know, many of your enemies that God will ice for you, you won't even know the guy was your enemy. You thought he was your friend. So as long as you just wake up every day, you take the book of the incantations of the Lord and you begin to utter it. Let's rise to our feet just for as we share the grace. Let's just take this. We use this one all the time. Let's just do it just for a minute and then we're out of here. Everybody declare, say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. All my needs are supplied. The Lord is my shepherd. I follow after righteousness. And all things are added to me. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. For this reason I have a sound mind. For this reason I am not confused. Say, my steps are ordered by the Lord. Listen, say, my steps are ordered by the Lord. He makes me walk in the path of destiny. You see, I began to preach that thing last Saturday. I'll finish it next Saturday. That God has ordained a certain path for you. And as long as you are in your heart just walking with him, he will just make you walk in the path that he ordained, even though you could not even see the road. So it's very important you declare it every day. Your life is not an accident, I say it every time. The people you will meet are ordained by God. There are those that come to tempt you. God put them there to see whether you will fall for temptation. And when you don't fall for it, he lifts you up to another level. Are you getting my point? Listen, when they decline, they refuse you a job, don't be angry. It was not your own. Because that which is yours, nobody can take it away from you. That which is yours, I say it again, nobody can take it away from you. Therefore say it, my steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by his Spirit. Say it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For the Lord is with me. Only with my ear I will hear the reward of the wicked. No evil will befall me.
No plague will come near my dwelling.
Say, he prepares a table before me.
In the presence of my enemies.
He has anointed my head with oil.
That means I have divine enablement.
I have the strength of God in me.
I can do all things.
Listen to this. Say it again. I can do all things.
Even if they say there's poor power supply.
Say it.
I can build my industries.
Because I can do all things.
Say it. I'm a blessing to this nation.
I'm a blessing to this nation.
I'm a blessing to my environment.
I'm a blessing to my society.
I am a blessing to my friends.
I'm a blessing to everyone I meet.
I'm a blessing to the work of God.
Add this one. I'm a blessing to my pastor.
When I get to a church, I'm not the troublemaker. That's what I'm going to make.
I'm not one just there criticizing. I'm a blessing. Everywhere I go, I am a blessing. I am a blessing.
That is, you declared, I am, say it again, I am a blessing.
I have been blessed to be a blessing.
All my needs are met.
I have abundance to help other people meet their own needs.
Say it, I am a giver.
I am not a beggar.
I am a giver to life.
I am a giver to this nation.
I'm a giver to my office.
I'm a giver to my friends.
I'm a giver in my family.
I am not a beggar.
You know, the other day I was talking with my friends. You know, most human beings just love to beg needlessly. And it's an attitude. It's not just about asking for something, it's an attitude.
It's an attitude.
My friends and I were just the other day, they live in the US, that a lot of Nigerians have a mentality. So one guy told his friend, why are you suffering like this? Your brother is a doctor in America. That's supposed to be the right for me to collect anything I want. I don't have to be a blessing. But God taught me something long ago. That is long ago. And that's been my attitude from time. No, and I thought to myself, I said, it's been my attitude from time. Forever.
I say I'm a giver, I'm not a beggar.
It's not whether I have plenty, that's not this, an attitude. You buy a car, I buy you fuel. I won't tell you, come and wash it for what? With all this suffering, you don't suffer to buy the motor.
I lie. So you buy a car, I buy you fuel.
You are building a house, I give you a ton of cement.
I don't have that is, I was buying fuel for people when I didn't have a car of my own.
Why? Because I'm what?
A giver. Is an attitude.
It's an attitude. When you walk around in life, you don't get to the office, how much are they paying me here?
No, if I leave here, let them feel that somebody left.
That's how we behave in this, our own cult. You get my point?
We are not there to come and collect. We are there to build ourselves also we can give.
We are givers.
It's an attitude. We are givers.
Even as a young boy, a young girl in your, with your parents, you can be a giver.
You can do it such a manner that when you leave, your parents are feeling bad. This boy goes to school, but I know he has to make progress. But when he's around,
they are the one paying the fees. Oh.
Say it again, I'm a giver.
I am a giver.
I am not a beggar.
I am not a beggar.
Say it, it makes all grace abound towards me.
I have all sufficiency in all things.
And I abound to every good work.
And I abound to every good work.
He says, surely,
goodness
and mercy,
loving kindness
will follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let's just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks.